Well, howdy do. I got a message for you today that I hope that you're going to enjoy. I hope that it's going to reap a real blessing in your heart and that the truth of God will come shining through. Now, the name of the message kind of lets things loose a bit. When I call it, A Hell of a Way to Die. A Hell of a Way to Die. You know, I'm thinking back maybe 40 years ago. When I used to live in one of these, and you probably lived there too. Some of you, at least, hearing this message, lived there in a little apartment buildings side by side. You know, I guess they call them, no, not duplexes. But anyway, the walls in those places, they were just like paper thin. You could hear everything going on next door and a lot of things you didn't want to hear. And, of course, they could hear you too. So you had to be a little bit cautious. You know, frugal. You know, I remember, though, that one particular day stands out in my mind. I heard a woman fighting with her husband through one of these paper-thin walls. I mean, I didn't intend to hear it, but it just came echoing over into my place. It was really a serious battle. Well, she called him every expletive I ever heard of, and then some. I mean, the air must have been blue in that room. I'll tell you, what she was saying was likely making the paint fall off the walls. It was horrendous. I mean, she called him names, a drunken sailor who just lost his weekend pass wouldn't call anyone. Nope. No, he wouldn't. But you know, of all the curse words that came out of that wild woman's mouth, of all the cursing, she never once took the Lord's name in vain. Not once. Street slang, oh yeah, four-letter street words. Now, don't you find that kind of strange? Well, I do. And something else she said, or didn't say. Now, get this now. Not once did she ever tell her husband to go to hell. You know, that's one of the first lines that come out of your mouth when you get angry with someone. You go to hell. She never once said, you go to hell. You know why? As I later found out, this woman actually believed in a literal hell. She did. She believed in a literal hell. She wasn't a Christian. She didn't believe in God or Christ even, but she did believe and totally fear a place called hell. Well, I just had to find out why. Yes, I did. Now, one day I ran into the woman's brother, who, I believe it or not, he was a Bible-believing Christian. Well, if he was, he still is, of course. Anyway, you know what he told me? That she would never wish hell on anybody. This woman feared hell more than death itself. She would fight you tongue and nail day and night, any week, and call you any name under the sun, but she would never, never tell you to go to hell. Ooh. You know, when I was in the Catholic Church many years ago, I'd been there for a long time. I was brought up in the Catholic Church, and that's all I ever believed until the Lord saved me, dragged me out of there. Anyway, they had so many strange ways of doing things now that I look back. I mean, of course they were against sin, but they would say you could sin just so much every week and it would never be held against you. It'd never be held against you. Now, in other words, you could curse. You don't take the Lord's name in vain now, but you could curse, say all the curse words you wanted, you know, and at the end of the week you go to confession, and the priest forgives you, and that's all gone, all right? you could steal, but only up to $20, huh? Until you went to your next confession, got that erased, then you go out next week, steal another $20, and hey, you might be able to get rich that way and still go to heaven. You know, confessional. I never understood that confessional because, you know, it was just the spookiest place you ever be. It's like a coffin standing on its end. And it's always in, you know, you're always going like on a Saturday afternoon or in the evening, you know, when there was nobody around. And everything you said kind of just echoed all over the place. And the priest would say to you, "Tell me, my son, what sins have you committed this week?" And I would say, "Well, Father," you had to call him Father now. I'd say, "Father, I confess my sin of, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned, first of all, to Almighty God and to you, Father. It has been since my last confession." And the priest would get in there and say, What? What did you say? You left something out there, didn't you? I said, "Well, it's been since my last confession. That's all." "No, there's a word you left out there." I hated to tell him that. "It's been 6 months since my last..." 6 months? "Oh, man, you're rolling in sin. Hey, you bet it's a good thing you come in here now. We're going to fix you up." So he'd ask me things like, okay, let's begin. Let's begin at the beginning, all right? "Tell me, do you know how many times that you took the Lord's name in vain?" "No, I don't remember it all. I don't even know if I did, you know. I wouldn't do that on purpose." "Well, okay then. Tell me, did you steal anything?" "Well, I can't remember all things I stole. I mean, I did steal some things. Yeah, I stole apples and pears from the neighbors. Nighttime, us kids get together, we'd go out and we'd have a raid on their apple trees." "Oh, then he'd say, "Well, did you have any impure thoughts?" I said, "Impure thoughts? What do you mean?" He said, "Well, did you look at any magazines with pretty girls in them and think impure thoughts about them?" "I, what, me? No, I didn't go and buy anything like that. And I didn't look at them on purpose. I was walking along the street one day. Well, I actually was out in the country on the side of the road, and there in the ditch was this magazine. And on its cover was this pretty girl." "Oh, you got to forgive me, Father. There was this pretty girl on the cover, and she was..." I opened the cover. I did. I'm sorry. I opened the cover. And there inside were all kinds of pictures I shouldn't be looking at. But you know what, Father? I couldn't help it. I just looked at one, and then I had to look at another, and I had to look at another, and another. Before you knew it, I was at the back cover." "My son," he said, "you came here just in time. We're going to fix you up. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you some prayers you have to go. Yeah, I'm going to say, I want you to say an act of contrition. I want you to say 20 Hail Marys. Well, I'll make that 30. And I want you to say 10 Our Fathers, okay? And ask the Lord to forgive you. All right? Well, I forgive you now. I want you to go now and sin no more, okay?" Now, that's the way it used to be back in the Catholic Church when I was a kid. That was crazy when I reflect on that. I mean, I know I'm a sinner. I'll always be a sinner until the day I die. But my sins now are under the blood because I'm a saved sinner. You know what I mean? My soul is secure in the heavenlies. But my body, my old flesh, sometimes it just gets right ornery on me and does things I don't want it to do. Anyway, enough of that. Anyway, let's get back to this message. It's an important message. She believed in hell. She actually believed in a literal hell, a fire and eternal torment. She believed all this. And she called Billy Graham and Pope John Paul both fools for denying such places. She called them fools. Well, what else could you call them, if they deny a literal hell? I mean, it's clear in the Bible that there's a literal hell. It's clear. And she holds them responsible for many precious souls that will journey hell's highway because of this. I'll tell you what happened to this wild woman at the end of my message, so stay tuned. Don't miss it. The name of my message, I said, it's a hell of a way to die. It's a hell of a way to die, yes. Hell. Think of hell. Nobody wants to believe it. Nobody wants to believe it exists. But everybody tells you to go there, don't they? You're going to a place that doesn't exist. Well, that's funny. Oh, I never did that before. Now, do you hate someone so much that you'd want them to go to hell? Can you imagine someone saying to you, I hate you so much. I hate your rotten guts. I hope you go to purgatory. Purgatory? That's only where Catholics go if they can find a place. No such place exists. You either go to heaven or you go to hell. You go up, you go down. There's no other place you're going to go when the Lord says. Okay? Now, God the Father created it. God created hell. And as far as we know, hell, in the lake of fire, is located somewhere in the core, the center of the earth. What we know for sure is that hell is real. We know that for sure. Ouch, just burnt my finger. The Bible tells us so, that hell is a literal place. The Word of God confirms its existence. Now, why would a loving God create a horrible hell? That's the first thing that comes to people's minds. Well, why would he make a hell? Why would he create one? Was it because he wanted someone to dump the world's trash there? You know, like with the garbage dump? I suppose one could say so in a manner of speaking. Let's look at it this way. If we don't have a place to put our trash, eventually it will overwhelm us. And we will be consumed by it. The dump or garbage pit down the road, depending on which way the wind's blowing, is quite likely the most ungodly smell you will ever experience, except for hell itself. Ever get really angry with someone and say things like, I hope you rot in hell, boy. Whew. By the end of this message, you will never say those words to another living soul. I hope not. Now, why is there a hell? Why is there a hell? Why did God make a hell? Originally, the Word of God tells us. Now, according to Matthew 25, verse 41, Matthew 25, verse 41, Jesus made it very clear when he said, this is what Jesus said now, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So, you see then? God created hell, but it was never meant for you or me, but for the devil and his bunch of misfits or angels or whatever, who defied God and were cast down to earth with him. Now, the earth then became the devil's domain. He took over, and God allowed him to have free will upon the earth. Now, I can't explain all that right now, but that's another message. The earth then became the devil's domain, his home. Could it be that God made hell in the devil's backyard just so he wouldn't have so far to travel? You know, no man wants to believe in a real, literal hell. But yet, the very Word of God, the very Word of God says there is a literal hell. And it's the most common expletive in the English language. Hell this, hell that, go there. You know what I'm saying? You hear hell mentioned, because everybody thinks, well, you can say hell all you want, and ain't going to bother nobody. It's not a curse word. It's worse than a curse word. Don't beg somebody to go to hell. Goodness gracious. Like the hell of I care. What? Johnny, get the hell out of there. What? From one hippie to the next. Hey, man. Hell, man. Yeah, hell's cool, man. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you here. There are over 49 references of hell alone in the New Testament. 49, with many spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. A man by the name of Dr. Rawlings. Well, he published a book a number of years ago called Beyond Death's Door. Beyond Death's Door. The good doctor, well, he was a specialist, a cardiologist, who knew it all when it came to internal medicines concerning vascular diseases and whatnot. But one of his specialties was bringing the clinically dead back to life. Woo, woo, woo. You get the message there? Whoa, I don't want to see that one at all. He didn't believe in the afterlife. But yet he brought people back to life. Isn't that afterlife? Oh, man. He didn't believe in the afterlife. Of course, he catered to no religious faith whatsoever. No. But then in 1977, Dr. Rawlings' life would take a dramatic turn. Oh, yeah. A dramatic turn. Keep on listening. He was tending to a patient. Now, can you picture this? He was tending to a patient who was screaming incessantly that he was burning in the flames of hell. Can you imagine that? That's happened. That has happened. Oh, yes. Now, Dr. Rawlings couldn't help but be a bit terrified. Is there such a way? A bit terrified by this strange happening or phenomenon, whatever you want to call it. The patient was completely absorbed in terror. You imagine? Now, I speak of the walking dead, you know. I mean, this guy, oh, he was out in left field. A terror Dr. Rawlings had never seen on the face of any man before. He saw on that man right there that day. The man continued to yell about the burning agony of his hell. Rawlings concluded that if you were there, if you were right there beside him, you would have no doubt in your mind about a literal fiery hell. No, you wouldn't. You'd be convinced. You'd be convinced double over. This episode, well, it prompted Dr. Rawlings to seek out the Lord Jesus Christ. And guess what? Gave his life over to Christ. That's what he did. Now, I don't know how serious he was, but this is what we're told he did. Interesting, huh? Now, the doctor concluded that most of the thousands of patients who came his way over the years went straight to hell. Straight to hell. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 13, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Oh, now where is hell? We know what hell is. Now where is hell? Well, earth's crust, the crust that we're walking around, the dirty old crust, in some places clean, okay? Earth's crust is about 50 miles thick, or so I've been told. 50 miles thick. In the book of Acts 2, verse 31, the word of the living God has this to say. Now listen carefully, listen carefully. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell. Neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, you remember that, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The heart, you know where the heart is, in the center, right? Hell is at the heart of the earth. Now you just take a look at Ephesians 4, 9, 10, and 11. Ephesians 4, 9, 10, 11 will give you a lot more information right here. I got to get on with this message. A well-known news authority has said the earth's center is hotter than the sun's surface. Wow. It is estimated the earth's core is over 12,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Well, I don't know how that compares with the sun's surface. I don't know. Now, what is hell? Hell is a lake of fire. It's a lake of fire, like that of a volcanic eruption, perhaps. When Mount St. Helens, how many of you remember Mount St. Helens, huh? Back in 1980. Yeah, Mount St. Helens blew its top on May 18th. I remember well now, 1980. And scientists said it was like hell had surfaced upon the earth. Wow, what a statement to make. Like hell had surfaced upon the earth. People, This is no laughing matter, I'm telling you. It's no laughing matter. There really is a literal hell right under your feet, right under your feet, about 50 miles down. And it doesn't take long for the devil to dig you a hole. And you won't be yelling Geronimo on your way down either. You know, as I stated, scientists, these brain people, have concluded that Earth's crust is about 50 miles thick. Okay, I'll give them that. I'll give them that. Now, if you were driving your Satanmobile, it might take you about 40 minutes to reach hell if you could go straight down the path. But if you'll be traveling by the way of the Gospel Express, you won't even notice time poorly spent till you drop off at the Worm Alive Motel. And to make your breakfast complete, did you know that the deepest parts of the ocean floor are less than a half mile from hell's door? Let me say that again. The deepest parts of the ocean's floor are less than a half mile from hell's door. Whoa. No deep sea diving for this boy. No. And to make your breakfast complete now, did you know that the deepest parts of the ocean floor contain all sorts of things that you would not imagine except in a horror movie? In fact, it's been reported that once in a while, this has been, I want to make sure I get this straight now. It's been reported that once in a while, tongues of a fire can be seen seeping through the cracks in the ocean's floor. Scary, isn't it, huh? That Twilight Zone, eh? Ooh. Tongues of fire can be seen seeping through the cracks in the ocean's floor. Now, that's what they say. Now, further reports have indicated the presence, of 5-foot-long red worms hanging around these cracks. Wow. I wouldn't want to try to put one nose on my fishing hook. Oh, man. Now, listen to what the Word of God tells us about Lazarus and the rich man. Luke 16:22. You know, I always like to read this to make sure that we get it right, because it's so important. 16:22 in the book of Luke, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Now the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, the rich man, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Okay? And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, and neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. You see, he's talking to a guy in hell, a rich man. And what he wanted Lazarus to do later on, I'm not going to read it right now in the interest of time, but he wanted Lazarus to, the rich man wanted Abraham to send Lazarus back up onto earth to warn his brothers that there was a literal hell so they wouldn't come there. You get the message? Understand that, eh? That's what he wanted. Was the rich man really in torments? Oh. Well, if you want to see for yourself, just keep on not believing in the gospel of Jesus Christ and forget about repenting, and you'll find out what torment really is. How often do we hear of How often do we hear of white lights? How often do we hear of flames of hell or weeping and gnashing of teeth? You know, on the white light issue, you know, you see all kinds of stories, maybe in Reader's Digest or some book, where people say they died and they went down this long tunnel where there was a great, great light at the end of the tunnel, and they heard a voice saying, "It's not your time yet, go back." And they say that's God telling them to go back. You know, if you're going to believe in that stuff, well, listen, I have some swamp land that's worth $1 million plus. I'll sell that to you. And that'll take you right to heaven. You believe anything. How often do we hear of the flames of hell or weeping of gnashing of teeth? Well, Jesus spoke more in hell than he did in heaven. Billy Graham and Pope John Paul agreed that a literal hell did not exist. I already covered that. What they were trying to say, I mean, I want you to tell me, what were they trying to save lost souls from then? If there's no hell, what were great preachers like Billy Graham and John Paul trying to save people from, lost souls from? From what? From the guy next door? Huh? From what? From the next thunder and lightning storm that comes overhead? What? Now, can anyone answer that question? I'd like to know. I don't think you can. You have to go by what the Bible says. Believe in the Scriptures. They don't lie. Now, you may have heard, listen carefully, getting near the end, you may have heard of the so-called drill to hell. Drill to hell. Now, I remember it quite well and found it very informative, very interesting. Quoted from a respected Helsinki newspaper, a well-known Soviet geologist, well-known, claims to have drilled through the gates of hell. Now, here's the quote. Listen carefully. "As a communist, I don't believe in heaven or the Bible. But as a scientist, I now believe in hell. I now believe in hell." He said, "Needless to say, we are shocked to make this discovery, but we know what we saw and what we heard. We know that. And we are absolutely convinced that we drilled through the gates of hell." Ooh. He went on to explain, "The drill suddenly began to rotate wildly. The drill suddenly began to rotate wildly, indicating we had entered a large empty cavern." You know, when you're drilling through something like a piece of metal, it's hard when you're going through it, but when you get through it, just goes real wild, because it's through. There's no more resistance, right? That's what he's talking about. "Indicating we had entered a large empty cavern." Now, heat sensors indicated the heat above 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Wow. "When we raised the drill, we couldn't believe our eyes. A fiend creature with huge evil eyes appeared in a gaseous cloud and shrieked like a wild animal before it finally disappeared." Wow. Keep listening now. "We lowered a microphone, which was designed to hear sounds of plate movements down the shaft. But instead of plate movements, guess what we heard? We heard human voices screaming in pain, in agony. At first we thought the sounds were coming from our own equipment. But when we made adjustments, our worst suspicions were confirmed. The screams weren't those of a single human. They were screams of millions of humans. You know, this is on the net. You can look this up on the net. I can't tell you exactly. Well, just look under hell. That should help you. And you'll hear these sounds, which Dr. Rollins is talking about here. Oh, yes, there is. There is a literal place called hell. A literal place where lost men and women go and burn for all eternity. Yes, there's a literal hell right beneath your feet where you're standing. A place where you will go if you deny the soul-winning blood of Jesus Christ. Now, the guy's name was Harry Truman, who died in that volcanic eruption at Mount St. Helens. He was an unbeliever, died and felt hell even before he reached it. Because hell came up on the earth and swallowed him up because he would not leave the area where hell was coming through. What a terrible, terrible thought. And the thing is, you do not evaporate in hell. You do not burn up. You burn for all eternity, and you are aware of that. That's the terrible thing about hell. Now, here's my epilogue, and I'm through. The Word of God says to look up. To look up, our salvation draweth nigh. Salvation cometh from above. Destruction and everlasting hell wait for you below. People, the message you've just heard is true. It's up to you to deny or accept this truth. But now that you know the truth about an eternal hell, you are without excuse. You are without excuse. God has not appointed us unto wrath. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9. Choose this day whom you will serve. Amen. Amen.